22nd of 2002 that God led my wife and I and my family here to Emmanuel. I preached the first sermon a couple months before that, I believe. I believe it was in October, November. And when we met, the first service I preached here, I believe, if I counted correctly, there was 22 people. I know there was, Brother Bill and Bonnie, they think they were on vacation, but that number would have been more, but roughly 22 people in that first service. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was, at that time, the Lord just had led me here to encourage y'all. And I really just, my phrase I've said for years is just simply just try to love on you, encourage you. And if God could allow me to do that, that was what my heart was. So I did that. And then God, in a circle, in just kind of a series of events, the story. The Lord then led us here. Became your pastor December 2nd of 2002. And since that time, God is really blessed. The Lord is really, really blessed. I would add, it hasn't come without trials. It hasn't come without difficulties. We've come through a lot as a church. We've come through a lot of staff situations. We've come through a lot of, just different situations, whether it be poor choices of some, and as far as in the context of, without really opening that up, as far as in the context over the years. But nonetheless, we've seen God really manifest his power. We've seen the Lord really truly do remarkable things. There's no doubt in my mind that the greatest days lie ahead of us here at Emmanuel. I truly believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be in the ministry. And that, as far as your pastor, I sincerely mean that from the bottom of my heart. But one thing I do know along the way is any time that God is blessing, Satan is not happy with that. And he'll do everything in his power to destroy it. He'll do everything in his power to sow discord, disharmony. In the body, and I think he's attempting to do that. I really do. I think that's what he's attempted to do. And tonight what I wanted to do is I just wanted us as a church family to come together and pray. And I want to read some verses from here out of Ephesians. Of course, this is a great chapter. Contextually, we know that Paul is writing to a local church. Local churches are not without issues. They're not without problems. As long as you have people, they're going to be problems. That's just it, because why is that? Because we're all, including myself, we're all simply sinners saved by the grace of God. And as a result of that, we have to always be forever minded that the devil doesn't want churches to have unity. The devil doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want people's lives to be changed. He doesn't want their marriages to be put back together. He doesn't want us reaching our community with the gospel. And throughout the years, God has indeed done that. And God continues to do that here at Emmanuel. And it's humbling, really, truly humbling to see how God has done that. We have seen multitude people trust Christ as their Savior. We've seen God take this church from literally just a few votes away from possibly selling everything in 2002 to God intervening there and God really blessing and God intervening and God showing himself strong to really let us know that he's in control and that even though sometimes we may see situations as bleak or we may see situations that may seem hopeless, I promise you, God sees all and he knows all and he knows not only the beginning, he knows the end as well. And sometimes what we see as a bad situation or maybe a situation that seems hopeless, I promise you, those are times where God shows up and he manifests his power in such a way that can bring the body closer together. And that's my prayer. My prayer to God is that the Lord will use this as a teaching time, that God will use this situation today as a time of growth for myself, but also as far as us as a church, as far as leadership, that's my humble prayer to God. I do not ever profess to be a perfect man. I'm not. I try to keep a short account of my sins to God. I try to have a heart that's passionate for the Lord. And my heart's desire is to be a pastor that not only loves his people, but be a pastor that encourages you and loves on you and encourages you and really truly seeks to believe the best in you. And I do. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I love our deacons. I love these men with all my heart. They have walked with me for many, many years. You all know some of the things that we've gone through as a family, from the murder trial that absolutely engulfed 3.5 to 4 years of our life, to, you know, other staff situations, to physical situations. You know my health. I've had a lot of health trouble with surgeries and different things and retina detachments. It's been a really tough 6 years, and I say that not for sympathy. I just simply say that you know, our deacons have walked that with me, and I'm grateful for that. And I want you to know, and I mean this, to Bill, to Joe, and Brother Tommy, I love them. I love them with all of my heart. I pray for them. I consider them some of my dearest friends. They know things as far as in the context of unspoken things, unspoken requests that I've shared with them, and I'm grateful for that. They've supported my family. They've looked out for us, and I really truly mean it. We've tried to do the same. And their wives, we love them. Miss Bonnie, Miss Marie, Miss Nancy, we love you all. You're not only wonderful ladies, my kids especially look up to all of you. I've said it, and I've told this before. My kids look up to Tom and Nancy as grandparents they never had. To Brother Bill and Miss Bonnie, they look up to you as family. Joe and Marie, same thing. They still talk about times when we was in Florida and riding, you know, golf carts and things. And so I want you to know that I do. I mean that. I love you. There is absolutely nothing more than I want than for God to use this situation for his glory and to use it for the betterment of this body, and I'm confident that God can do that, and God will do that. That's my prayer. If you found Ephesians, please stand. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read just a few verses. I'm going to make a few comments, and then we're going to have a season of prayer. And what I want, any men in this room that want to pray, you're going to get an opportunity to pray. And our prayer, and Brother Ryan, I asked him the first song, Revive Us Again, that God will use it. Because here's what you got to understand. We are not at war with each other. Please hear my heart. We're not at war with each other. We know where this is coming from. We know the devil isn't happy. And we know the devil wants to sow discord in a body. And we recognize that. We're not ignorant, like the Bible says. We're not ignorant of his tactics, of his devices. We know how he works. And he tries his best to destroy from outside, and often when he knows it doesn't happen, he tries to come inside, and he tries to destroy from inside. And by God's grace, we don't want that to happen. And we want the Lord Jesus to use this to bring us closer together and have more unity, perhaps, than we've ever had in the history of our church, and I sincerely mean that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness. So he not only challenges them as far as in their conversation, their conduct, and how they behave themselves, and how they walk in this life. He now lists, here's how you need to be. Here he says it. He said, with all lowliness and meekness. The word meekness means gentleness. With long suffering, forbearing. Literally, it means bearing with one another in love. Right then and there. Right. Those few words alone are packed with rich, beautiful language of how we are to treat one another and treat one another with love, treat one another with gentleness in the context of a membership of a body. He goes on, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity, notice the word, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Notice this, for the perfecting, verse 12, literally the word equipping, for the perfecting or equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity, look at there in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So he uses the body. He uses our physical body and how God has made our physical body, of course, comparing it to the body of Christ, the local church there in Ephesus. He's telling they're one body in Christ. And he's talking about how God has fitly joined that body together. And that's what God does. That's how God does it. It's God that adds. It's God that adds to a local church. It's the Lord Jesus who leads, and God adds as he sees fit. And then what the Holy Spirit of God does is he molds that, and he shapes that, and he forms it in to that body that really truly is pleasing and honoring to Christ. And he goes on and he says here, lost my place. Verse 17, he said, this I say therefore and testify, let me back up verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, verse 17, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then notice what he says. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Again, contextually, he's talking to a church here. He's telling them that they are to edify one another. They are to encourage one another. He says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And notice verse 32, we've read this verse dozens and dozens of times as a church family, but look at it again. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear God, for the Holy Spirit, who no doubt is in this room. And Father, I pray, dear Jesus, that what is said and done tonight will give you glory. You know my heart, God. I've talked to you a lot in these last couple days. And Father, I just pray that the devil will not win. I pray, dear God, that everything that is said and done will be done with a spirit of unity, will be done with a spirit of what is pleasing to thee, and will be done, as you said to the church at Corinth, decently and in order. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you. And as just a little bit, we'll be having prayer, special prayer. I pray, God, that you would not allow the devil to destroy our church, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I would add, just in a couple comments of adding to this, and then my part will be done as far as speaking, that the Apostle Paul had a love for the church. He had an absolute love for the different churches that God had really burdened his heart about. He loved the church of Philippi. He loved the church at Ephesus. He loved the church at Corinth. He loved the church of Colossae, even a church he never even attended. But Paul was constantly pouring into them and letting them know that you got to be aware and you got to be prepared of how the devil works and what the devil does. And he's not happy when people are being saved. He's not happy when lives are being touched. He is not happy, I promise you. He is not happy that we're having Vacation Bible School this week, bussing in dozens and dozens of children who are going to hear the gospel. A church that gets excited and a church that gets passionate about the things that God is passionate about, that's a church that God's going to bless. And we've seen the Lord bless. We've seen God do some remarkable things. We've seen God take situations, and I even said today, we've seen God take situations that could have crippled or if not destroyed a local church, and we've seen God work mightily even in the midst of some of those darkest days in our tenure here at Emmanuel. So we praise him, and we know that he has a reason for everything. And I would add that if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're in a good place tonight, because even right now you can repent. You can call upon God to be your Savior, believing that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day, and God will save you. God will change your life. Whether you're in this room watching by internet, the Lord Jesus Christ will absolutely change your life if you'll give your life to him. And he loves to bless, and he loves absolutely to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask, all that we could ever think. And I would add that in our tenure here, and it has nothing to do with us, I promise you from the bottom of my heart, other than us just simply trying to be obedient to what God's called us to do, the Lord Jesus has truly done that. He's done exceeding abundantly above. He amazes us with what he does. I'm amazed at how God has used Emmanuel. He's used you all to inspire other churches, to inspire other churches in your giving, to inspire other churches in your soul winning and your passion for souls. God loves people more than anything. And I'm telling you, of all the churches that I personally know and have been a part of, you all are passionate about souls. You knock on doors. Our deacons are on a regular basis here for soul winning visitation. And I promise you, that isn't like that in a lot of churches. But I'm grateful for that. And I want us to go forward reaching more of our community for Christ. I want us to go forward making more of an impact for God's kingdom and furthering God's kingdom. And I know that God can do that, and God wants to do that, and God longs to do that. But we have to have unity. We have to have that unity of that oneness as a body in Christ that has gotten us to this far. And so what I'm going to do now is we'll give an invitation at the end. But what I want to do now is I would like to call on whoever and however many of you want to pray. And if you want to pray, man, if you'd like to pray, stand and we'll pray. We're praying specifically for God's will. We're praying specifically that God will unite our hearts and knit our hearts together and, bring that unity back. And we know that he'll do that. So would anybody like to volunteer to pray tonight? Brother Randy, lead us, and after he's done, somebody else would like to pray? Raise your hand if you'd like to pray. All right, Brother Randy, lead us in prayer. Give us a victory over the devil. Just help us. Somebody else? Brother Aaron? Go ahead, bud. Someone else? Brother Tom? Thank you, Brother Tom. Someone else would like to pray? Brother Steve Jankowski. Thank you, Brother Steve. Someone else? Brother Adrian?
Lord, and
Brother Adrian. Someone else? Brad, I'm sorry, bud. If you have your hand up and I don't see you, just say Pat, just say Pastor, I'll pray. Go ahead, bud. Thank you, Brad. Someone else? Anybody at all? Let's all stand our feet while we have an invitation. The invitation tonight is if you'd like to, as always, if you've never been born again, we want you to be. We'd love for you to repent and believe the gospel, get saved. Maybe you are saved, say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but just got a lot on my heart tonight. I just want to come to the altar and pray. I know maybe you didn't pray out loud, and that's okay. That's perfectly fine. We never force you to do that, but maybe you just like to come and talk to the Lord and just ask God for his help in your life or whatever it is. Perhaps God's touched your heart, and so many men prayed tonight, even personally, that God would cleanse them of any sin in their life. And maybe that's what you need to do is just talk to God. I give you an opportunity to do that. Just come and meet with the Lord. Brother Ryan, what's your number?
Oh, I'm sorry, 454.
454. You come.
I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Well, amen. We appreciate your really your tender heart tonight. Appreciate your spirit. Appreciate all the ones that prayed and the ones that no doubt the Lord has touched their heart and just seeking His will. And God is my witness. All I want is God's will for this church. That's it. That's all I want is God's will. And I want God's perfect will to be done. I want the Lord Jesus to be pleased. And I want us to reach more people for Him because that's what He deserves. That's what this community needs. Again, that's what we need to do. And we don't need to be at odds with one another. We need to be in unity, and we need to be able to work through things, and I'm confident that we can. And I covered your prayers. I know the deacons, for myself and the deacons, and just we do cover your prayers. And Brad, I think it was the one that prayed it. They've been through a lot too. You know, they've been through a lot in these last few years, and for them to walk alongside of me, that means the world to me. And I'm hoping and praying that will continue. So just pray for us and pray for us. We'll go into a meeting here in just a few minutes. But we want God's will to be done, and we want the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide and direct. And what is done and what is said in my office to be edifying, to be encouraging, but also to be instructive. And we're hoping that will indeed happen. So any closing announcement?
BBS tomorrow.
BBS tomorrow. And to come out and get ready to overdose on candy, it looks like. Get your sugar level up to about 500, and then we send you home, and you'll have a good time. But again, thank you so much for all those that helped out with VBS this year. It looks phenomenal. I'm excited. The kids are going to have a great time. It's going to be a great week. And you be praying, and bring kids, bring friends, and you young people, get them in. Get your